necesita Alves. Boyan estaba, la baje todo, le quedó largo, pifió. Messi la tiene, Messi, Messi, Messi. Ahí está Iniesta. ¡Gol! 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 ¡Cerebro! ¡Cerebro! ¡Cerebro Iniesta! ¡Y celebra el Barça! Celebrate the minute you was having dope. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio, if I don't play. All right, welcome back to Mad About Football. George Metellus, Juan Arango. We just finished talking a little bit about the second leg of Barcelona and Chelsea.
And, yeah, but you know, it's been a good week for Barca.
Yeah,
God, I mean, we're not done talking about Barca yet. I mean, it sounds like, you know, the Barca show, but God.
For real.
But, you know, I mean, we got to go back, and it was a good week for them in La Liga because, hey, they played none other than Real Madrid. Remember, hey, remember that Real Madrid was talking about, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to beat them, and we're going to smoke them, and we're going to kick their ass because the referees aren't going to help them because they're a bunch of cheaters because they cheat, and they've always cheated, and they always will cheat, and we're going to kick their ass, and it's going to be 1 point, and watch out, La Liga.
And wrong.
What happened?
No.
God, it was probably. I mean, even Os was saying it was one of the most incredible exhibitions of the game ever.
Right.
At the Bernabeu.
It was
incredible. I mean, I was keeping, you know, I was keeping an eye out on the game when I was at the beach. Imagine that, me at the beach in April, huh? And I'm making a big deal out of it.
Dang, man. Woo. Well, you missed South Florida bad.
No, actually, no, it was May. Excuse me. Early May, and I'm missing the beach. And I'm at the beach, and I'm making a big... Oh, my God. So, I'm listening to the game on the radio, and I hear, you know, Real Madrid school. Yeah, okay. But then all of a sudden, 2 minutes... And this is, I think, the big difference between this year's Barca team and last year's Barca team.
Yep.
That as much as teams say, oh, well, Barcelona kicks the ball around, passes the ball around, this and that and the other, they have more of a purpose this time around.
Yeah.
Or what I mean by purpose is more of a tactical purpose to find the shot. You know, instead of finding a player that's going to run in and face the goalkeeper one-on-one.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And you got to give them credit, especially, you know, Henri, because Henri's goals, he scored twice, and they weren't, they won 6-2, so they weren't the difference in terms of the mathematics, but they were the difference in the sense that right after Real Madrid scored, he scored. He put Barcelona back on, you know, and that was the worst thing for Real Madrid. And that goes back to what you're saying about the tactics. You know they can score. So what they do is, and so they get aggressive. They make those diagonal runs into the box. They make, you know, Iniesta's finding people. Messi's finding people. Xavi's finding people running. And Doyle and Messi have a good understanding of when to cut, when to pass, to make a touch pass and go. And that's, like you said, it's a tactical change from last year that has made them more, you know, potent offensively. And you take a weak back line of Real Madrid. No one on that back line is any
good.
And
one was referred to as a cone.
Cone, yeah, exactly. I mean, which is the funniest comic that sport has written all year. You know, it was hilarious. I mean, even Cannavaro, who's supposedly a great defender, he was like just...
He looked defeated. He looked broken. He looked beat. Pretty much for the majority of the game.
Oh yeah, he's been looking like that since he got to Real Madrid. Let's be real. He's been looking like that since he got to Real Madrid. It's one thing to be a defender of Juventus, and a much different thing to be a defender of Real Madrid. And I think he realized that Real Madrid pays me well, but damn, I'm looking like a fool over here. Because they leave him by himself all the damn time. It seemed like every time Cannavaro is like the last man or has to run back and chase somebody to prevent a goal. I mean, if he had hair before he got to Real Madrid, he would have lost it by now.
Yeah, he lost it anyway.
He lost it anyway, so, you know, it's done. But it was, like you said, tactically, Barcelona, much more aggressive, better passing, and they answered immediately. That was the key, because when Higuain scored the goal, you got the sense that, oh, maybe Real Madrid is going to, they're going to take the game. But Henry, boom, right back. And then Sergio Ramos scored, Henry, right back. And then after that,
but you know what? And that second goal, I think Sergio Ramos got caught napping. He still got caught celebrating.
Yeah,
Celebrating a little bit. I mean, yes, fine. Madrid started pushing up with their lines, but I think Ramos was still like, "Hey, look, I scored against Barcelona." And all of a sudden, he's looking back, and Henry's running right past him. He's just trying to look for an offside.
Nope. Happening.
That was just brilliant because. You know with Henry, the thing was that he, all both of those goals, he touched the ball once. And he waited, he kind of angled himself, adjusted his body, so when he actually had to hit the ball, he hit it right, and he only had to hit it once.
Right.
I thought, those two goals were just brilliant.
Yeah, that's the sign of a pure goal scorer. He has Henry's body control is excellent body control. You see a lot of players when they get in those positions like that, they don't have a sense of how to, you know, angle their body, like you said, so that he can hit it right and beat Casillas. Look, Casillas, you have to hit it right, because if you make one little mistake, you don't hit the ball right, he's gonna save it, because he's the best in the world. So you make a great point, Henry. He knows how to do. He's a pure goal scorer. The guy is one of the top finishers in the game. And if we go back to the Chelsea game, you have to finish. You will not win if you don't finish. And they finished real strong that game, pretty much. And it could have been worse. It could have been 8. It could have been 8-2. A couple passes. I know Eto'o had a couple situations where Casillas made a save. He had twice on him. He made a save. And one time, if he had just passed it back and centered it back in the middle, Henry would have tipped it in. So you got to just give Barcelona a bunch of credit for that. And you know, Guardiola, his attitude, he's gotten a little tougher with the team, and it made all the difference.
But, you know, he knows when to get tough. He knows when he has to be, you know, kind of a father figure, I guess.
Right.
Be there for his team. He knows when he has to be certain things, which is crucial. Because, you know, there's times that as a coach, a lot of coaches, in order to motivate their team, they get angry or they throw stuff and they try and rile the troops up, and there's no need for that, you know? I mean, if there's one thing that's been consistent about the team, it's been Guardiola.
Right.
So,
yeah.
There's nothing more to ask.
Especially you consider with all the drama that happened last year, he's like he's the way he's handled the team and his attitude has been perfect. It's been perfect, you know.
You know, I was wrong at the beginning of the season. I'm like, Guardiola, what the hell are they gonna do with him? You know, everybody was doubting. It's like, oh my god, you know, it was one of these choices that it's like, okay, why is that the case? You know, why are you picking him?
I mean,
God, you have, I think, I forgot who was available at the time. I think Gus Hiddink was available, maybe, if I wasn't mistaken.
I think even, well, I was going to say Del Bosque, but he's not.
Del Bosque's not going to take that job.
Right.
And he was, I think he was with Fenerbahce.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you had Roberto Mancini.
Roberto Mancini, exactly.
Inter coach, you had him, he was available, yeah.
Oh, you had Mourinho.
Right, and Mourinho, yeah.
Yeah, you had Mourinho, you had Mancini. A lot of these players, a lot of these coaches, Koeman, who's, you know, he's a Barca guy through and through.
Right. Right, yeah.
But they went with Guardiola, and people were like, what? And I was one of them. I was so wrong, man. I didn't know that, you know, he was a great guy, but he was a good coach, mind you, but he just seemed so lyrical, so idealistic, so, you know, so caught up in theory, in the theory of the game, that you kind of get lost with the theory and stop looking at the game in the more applicable sense.
Right.
And I think, you know, now, I mean, obviously it's easy to say it now, but I think they it's safe to say they made the right choice, I guess.
Definitely, definitely. So, let's look at Real Madrid real quick, because this game opened a lot, well, created a lot of questions in terms of personnel and their coach. Let's start, you know, Juan de Ramos. I mean, we said it after the game. We thought he was done after this, because when he loses, since he's taken over Real Madrid, when he's lost, it's been ugly. You have this 6-2. You had the Liverpool where they just got creamed. You know, is he gone? What you think? What do you think about Juan de Ramos? Gone.
There's no doubt. They're not renewing his contract. There's no, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind. Juan de Ramos is going to be remembered for that Barcelona sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the first game that he coached was against Barcelona. They get whipped. I mean, it was a brave performance, if you want to call it that. But Barcelona should have won 2-3-4-0 easily. Mm-hmm. Remember, yeah. You know, I told him it's a penalty kick too, to boot.
That's right.
But Real Madrid showed nothing in that game, and you can't blame Juan de Ramos on that game because he had just gotten the team two days before.
Right.
So, you know, where can the team go from there? I mean, they went up. I mean, they won, I think, what, 17 of 18, and at least made it a race. But it's unfair. I mean, it's unfair that he got such a bad rap.
Yeah.
I mean, any other coach that would have gone 17-1-4 would have gotten a contract extension.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any other coach. But yeah. That wasn't the case. I mean, he lost the four biggest games of the year for Real Madrid in the second half of the season. He lost them all.
Yeah, that's true. And to mention, if it was 1-0 every game, then you could say, okay, maybe, you know, fine. But 8-2 aggregate on against Barcelona and 5-0 aggregate against Liverpool. Mm-hmm. That's not going to get you. I mean, you're not going to stay.
He was a thing this year, though, as well. And this is something I noticed, and I remember mentioning it to you quite a few times, was the fact that, and here's where La Liga has its downfall. When the lesser teams, let's go from like sixth place down, you know, when the Malagas and Deportivos and, you know, go on and on, you know, further down the list. When you start, those teams start playing Real Madrid, they play scared. Mm-hmm. You know, they play very defensive. They play ready to break out. But they never go and say, well, you know, it's Real Madrid. But who's Real Madrid? Who cares? Let's go and pop them in the mouth first.
Right.
And there was only one game in which that happened. It was actually two games. It was the Atletico game and it was the Getafe game.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Real Madrid never really had a complication with any other team.
Yeah, it was almost as if if you want to, you could kind of look back and say, dang, you know, Real Madrid, the fact that they were even pushing Barcelona was more a result of teams backing down from them. Like, they were doing, you know, it was like backing down from Real Madrid was doing them, Real Madrid a favor, like, you know. Like, it was almost, you don't want to, it's not a conspiracy, but you want to think that, you would almost think that, damn, they don't want Barcelona to win. Because the way they were backing down from Real Madrid. Being intimidated.
It wasn't, they weren't the team that had the bullseye on their back.
Right.
It was Barcelona, you know, and it was easy. I mean, but some games just like look so easy for Real Madrid to play.
Right.
In the long run, they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Definitely. It boggles the mind that, you know, you're a competitive. This is professionals. Mm-hmm. who are competing, and they seem to back down or seem to be scared. I just don't understand that mentality.
As an individual, I don't know if that's the case. Maybe from a group perspective, it is. Maybe the coaches are. You know, because the coaches are looking, hey, you know what? Let's get a draw. Because, you know, if I get a draw, that's one more point that gets me closer out of relegation, or a point that gets me closer to the European Cups.
Right.
So, you know, let's go and draw. And you know how that old adage goes, man. If you play to draw, you play to lose.
Right. Right. Definitely. Definitely. Now, Real Madrid, they're going to have, we talked about Juan de Ramos, but they have some player issues, too. They got to clear up. I mean, who do you see they need to get rid of?
Well, first of all,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I was gonna say, who do you think they need to get rid of, and then who do you see coming in? And coming in, let's exclude Kaká and let's exclude Cristiano Ronaldo, because
well, Cristiano Ronaldo's not coming in. That's for
sure. Not coming.
I already
right.
said it. Kaká, who knows?
Yeah.
But is the answer one player?
Yeah, that's they need more. Yeah, they need.
You know, Real Madrid needs a lot more than just one player.
Right.
But Cannavaro won't be there next year. Okay.
No.
No, he's done.
He's going back to Juventus.
He's going back to Juventus. He had his physical and he's ready. He's ready to go.
Right.
Well, actually, let's start from the top, because Juan de Ramos not going to be there. Who's going to be the coach?
Who knows? That's a good question.
Who knows?
That's a very good question.
Who knows?
I can't think of anybody. Maybe Roberto Mancini is the only one I could think of.
Would Roberto Mancini want to come to Spain?
I think they have enough money.
More money at Chelsea.
Oh yeah, that's right. If he gets more money at Chelsea, yeah. And coaches seem to, and maybe I'm, you know, looking at this through the Mourinho lens, mm-hmm. but. Coaches seem to like the English Premiership more. Maybe there's more money in it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
but the money, that's probably the number one reason. But they're always talking about the fan support over there is better atmosphere for games. So I mean, I could see why Mancini would go over there. So I don't know who's number two. Who would you? I can't think of anybody.
There's nobody that I could think of right now.
You know who popped in my head, but I don't think it will work?
Claudio Ranieri, maybe? I don't know.
No, not him. No, they'd be stupid if they do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you heard what happened with him, you know, this week. All the players confronted him and said, hey, you know what, we're done.
What?
Yeah, they pretty much confronted him after the Napoli game.
Wow.
Yeah, you're done. I mean, it was all the old, like the Camoranesi's and the Trezeguet's and all those players, we don't want you here anymore.
Wow.
So,
wow, the Juventus ship is sinking real fast.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, it's almost Titanic level right now, the way they've gone down.
Oh, no,
yeah.
They're done.
Yeah.
I guess I don't have to say that, but, you know, it's something that's pretty obvious. But going back to Real Madrid thing, you know what? When Cannavaro's gun is done, you're facing a central defender duo of Pepe and either Gabriel Heinze and Christoph Metzelder.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's not good.
You still don't have that left back that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They're very rare to find nowadays.
Yeah.
Sergio Ramos, I would not get rid of.
Yeah. You gotta keep him.
Or Sergio Ramos ends up becoming a central defender.
Yeah.
That would be the only option.
Right. And, yeah, you could do that.
Try and find, you know, some other right back that you could find. I mean, those are, you know, you can't find those a dime a dozen either.
Right.
And as far as midfield, Guti, from what people are saying, is gone. So you have to find yourself a super sub.
Right.
Raul, who knows how much longer he will last?
I think Raul's got maybe 2 years.
He's got two, maybe three more years, exactly.
Right.
Van Nistelrooy's gone. Van der Vaart most likely will be gone. Of course, you know, and I don't know how they can get rid of this guy. Julian Faubert, he's gone.
Yeah.
He hasn't even played a game.
That was just the absolute waste of a transfer. Well, he's on loan from.
But it was a wait from from West Ham, but
West Ham, I mean, he did absolutely nothing. I mean, they just. I don't understand why they did it. That was. Who knows?
Lassana Diarra has shown promise, but then he's shown little when he has pressure on him.
Right.
Got it.
Marcelo.
Marcelo's got potential.
But I think he's got a potential as a midfielder, not as a back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have to change positions.
Yeah.
Because he's just not, defensively.
Yeah, and he's got good enough pace to make some, make some mischief up front.
Right.
Well, here's the problem now. You have Lassana Diarra, but what happens when Mamadou comes back?
Yeah.
And when Mamadou comes back, what do you do with Fernando Gago?
Yeah, that's true.
Perfect.
That's true.
I mean, Fernando Gago can play, further up, that which is fine as well. But I mean, Fernando Gago's not Guti.
Right.
Sorry to break that one to Madrid fans. So Van Nistelrooy is gone as well. They're talking about Ibrahimovic.
Ooh.
But actually, I think it was more of a rhetorical thing that. Poking fun at Madrid that Massimo Moratti did the other day. He said, "Hey, man, I'll take Ibrahimovic. Give me Higuain and $50 million. And I don't think they're letting go of Higuain anytime soon. That's Higuain is without a doubt the team's future.
Right. Right.
There's no other player that's, he's probably Real Madrid's player of the year. Without a guy like Higuain, La Liga would probably end it about a month ago.
Oh, yeah. And they probably would be in a fourth or fifth place.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. They have some huge decisions they need to make. It seems like the only ones that are going to stay, from what I see, Raul, Higuain, Robin, Diarra, maybe Marcelo, and Casillas. And then everybody and Sergio Ramos. Everybody else is pretty much, they might have to worry a little bit about where they're going to be playing next year. They're going to be playing somewhere, but it might not be for Real Madrid.
It's a big time lack of identity. I mean,
yeah,
the club is really in shambles right now. I mean, Baluda and Calderon got indicted on earlier today on charges of fraud, on charges of extortion. As far as the club is concerned, they're in big time trouble. I mean, they're both on the way out. But what boggles my mind at least is to have all these problems going on, and your solution, Real Madrid's legitimate solution, is Florentino Perez.
Oh boy, they want to go back to that.
I can't understand. I got a guy that literally, he brought a lot of profit to Madrid. He knows how to market. He knows how to do a lot of things. But his mentality is, hey, let's just build a fantasy team.
Right.
And sell jerseys. Okay, well, we're not winning titles, but we're selling jerseys.
Right.
That's not doing right now, especially with an economic situation like Madrid has right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah. I find it hard to believe that a club like Real Madrid, with all the history and all the money they have, have this problem in management. It's hard to believe that they cannot find one person with some kind of ethics that can run the club and get, and be able to put together a championship squad with all the money they have. It's amazing. It boggles my. It really is. I can't even describe I can't find the word in my brain to describe it.
It's not a second division side we're talking about now.
Right.
It's a team that has a lot of resources.
Right.
A team that has a lot of things that a lot of, places and a lot of banks, a lot of things that they can go to for money, but. That's not the case, or so it seems. I mean, there's a lot of blame that can be spread around as far as Real Madrid's concerned. Go to Ramon Calderon. You can go even before that to Florentino Perez. Far as it's not just Perez and Calderon and to a certain extent Baluda's fault that the team is like this as well. I mean, they're just...
You gotta look at Mihailovic. Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. you know, Beja Mihatovic, when he's picking players, I mean, what's he thinking?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. He's made some very... Well, let's just be real. Some bad calls when it comes to, you know, new players for the team. Yeah.
I mean, Huntelaar is another player that was talking about leaving.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be their big transaction this year. And he hasn't gotten PT. He wants to go back to Holland, or he wants to go back to a big team.
Right.
There could be a possibility. I don't know how much his possibility is, but, you know, there's a big possibility of him going... You know, going somewhere during the summer.
Yeah, definitely. Real Madrid has a lot of questions. And, I mean, with the resources that they have, they should be like Barcelona. They should be semifinals, Champions League. If it's not every year, then at least every 2 years, you know. Or go into a stretch like Manchester United, where they've been to what, like, seems like they've been to the Champions League the last, what, 3 or 4 years in a row? Mm-hmm. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but... They should be in that class. They should not be getting eliminated in the round of 16, you know, 3 years, 4 years in a row. So there's some mismanagement going on, and they need to fix it soon, or else, like, they could, you know, it's gonna hit the... It probably already has hit the fan.
It has hit the fan, you know. Yeah. And why do you think they're looking for such desperate, you know, they're going through such desperate measures to find an adequate presidential candidate, and that's all they could find?
Maybe Barack Obama has like a brother or somebody like that. There's, you know, maybe Barack Obama's sister can do it. You know, I don't know, man.
But they got to find a solution and find it quick.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, who knows? You know, it's really crazy. It's unbelievable that Real Madrid is falling.
Where do you see La Liga right now as a league?
Well, I think that as a league, there's a problem. Well, I don't want to say a problem, but competitive. Every time I think of La Liga, I look at it in terms of how they perform in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. And with three out of, you know, with English clubs doing what they're doing now, I really think that the Sevillas, Villarreal, Atletico Madrid's, they're missing something. I think there's a toughness missing. I think there's a lack of leadership on those teams, on those kind of, you know, the third place, fourth place, fifth place teams, that is just affecting how they perform in Europe. You know, they have the talent. I mean, you look at Sevilla, but between, you know, if you look up top with between Fabiano and Canute, they should be able to score on anybody. But yet, you know, they're what, 15 points back of Real Madrid. They could barely get out of they weren't in the Champions League this year, you know, or at least I don't think they were.
They could barely get out of the UEFA Cup.
You know, I mean, the fact that no Spanish teams are in the semifinals of any of the European competitions means that there's something wrong there. Either they're not deep enough or their youth academies aren't coming up, but I think La Liga has definitely slipped. Now, it hasn't slipped as far as Serie A. Serie A has slipped way down. You know, because, I mean, Inter, the champions, can't even get out of the round of 16. You know, I mean, Roma looked more impressive in the Champions League this year than Inter. Now, Inter, I think, had to place Manchester United, so that has a lot to do with it. But I think La Liga, they definitely need some toughness, and I think that those third, fourth, fifth place, sixth place teams, they need some kind of, like, a real, like, leader and somebody who can just grab everybody's neck and say, look, this is how we're going to play. We need to be tough. We need to be strong. And obviously there's an imbalance with the financial, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, they have all the money so they can get the depth.
Well, they also do the best marketing.
Right.
I mean, I was talking about this with Kevin from Serie A Weekly. I was telling him, dude, I mean, tell me outside of the big three or four in Italy, who really does a lot of marketing outside of Italy? You know, Napoli probably still goes on the whole Maradona thing. Yeah, right. You still see a bunch of Napoli jerseys in Argentina. But other than that, you really don't see, like, Fiorentina going, you know, crazy. Maybe you can see Fiorentina riding on the backs of what they did with Batistuta back in the day, but that's about it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know,
that's
I
true.
Mean, you don't see, you know, Inter. I mean, you don't see what Inter does, like, you know, when they were doing Pirelli in Chinese, and when Inter comes to the States, and when Juventus does, you know, tours in here in the States as well, and in Asia and what have you.
You know, right.
Same thing goes in Spain. I mean, other than Real Madrid and Barcelona, nobody really does anything.
Yeah, that's true. So you're saying that some of those lower echelon teams, they need to do better job of marketing and stuff like
profile. I'm not saying that marketing will raise their profile 100%, but it's a start.
Right. But
they'll start selling a little bit more jerseys.
Right. And that'll bring in more money, and then hopefully that might bring in better players. Yeah.
I mean, Sevilla, regardless of how much money they bring in, their policy is always, you know, try and sell.
Right.
They're gonna expect Sevilla to be selling a couple of good players during the summer transfer window. So.
That's something I was thinking about. I was wondering. I was thinking, how much do these teams really want to win? And I know that sounds strange because this is professional sports and, you know, competition. But how much do they really want to win? You know, I think that when you have a situation where these clubs are run by individuals, I think they're more interested in turning a profit. Now, I understand business. That's how it works. You got to turn a profit. But isn't winning synonymous with profit? You know, I mean, Barcelona, Real Madrid, yeah, people are going to buy their jerseys. But if Barcelona is in ninth place 3 straight years in a row, I guarantee you their jersey sales will go down. I guarantee you their requests for tickets will go down. You know what I'm saying?
But also remember that there's an issue going on. The teams like Manchester United owe $1 billion.
Right.
You know, Barcelona owes $190 million. You have teams like Liverpool that are close to $500 million in debt.
Right.
I mean, do you really want to be winning and be so much in debt that you won't be able to pay for it? Especially with some of the business models that are out there, with the club business models and the individual business models, such as like Manchester United and what have you. I mean, do you want to get in that type of debt, or do you want to stay, well, okay, fine, we'll stick being in third, fourth, fifth place, be able to go to Europe, earn some money, and maybe buy a decent player here and there?
I guess that's the eternal question. But I would think that nobody ever, I don't think a big club ever wants to be in debt. But I would think that if you're winning Champions Leagues, if you're winning your league, you're winning, you know, these major trophies, it would be easier for you to climb out of that debt. You have other sources of income coming in. You know, UEFA's paying out money because you win the Champions League. You get the jersey sales, you get TV revenue, stuff like that. Stuff that you wouldn't get if you're always fifth and sixth place.
But remember, let's and I'll use Manchester again as the example. All the money they earned last year goes straight to their loan for the Glazers.
Right.
And that's just covering interest.
Right.
So what situation do you want to be in? I mean, it depends on your owner too. I mean.
Right.
Yeah. I know a team like Roman Abramovich. I know Roman Abramovich doesn't want to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for a fact that Joan Laporta doesn't want to lose. But you have to be smart with your money too. You can't just start buying players left and right and think you're going to start earning a profit. After a certain point, you're not going to be earning a profit.
Right. Right. I think that's where when we talk about youth academies and, you know, scouting and things like that, I think that's when that really comes into play. Because the modern business model is one where labor tends to be the biggest expense. So if you can get players that are good, you build them through your youth ranks, build them up through your system, you save money in terms of their wages. And if you really need money, you can pull a Lyon and sell everybody, you know, to whatever the highest bidder is, and pull a profit. You know, I think that's why you don't hear anything about Lyon's debts. You know, because they have a good, whatever money they make, they put in their youth academy or their development system, and they bring, you know, they're always pumping out good players. Now, on the flip side is, they probably could have won a couple Champions Leagues by now if they had kept those players, decided to pay them, you know, good, decent wages. They would have a talent. I mean, you look at the players that have been through there, it's a Champions League winning caliber side that they've given up.
Yeah, but I mean, now you're dealing with an owner like Jean-Michel Aulas, who's more worried about, you know, selling than buying.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's worried more about, you know, the bottom line than anything else. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, hey, let's take one more quick break, and we'll be right back, okay? We'll finish, and we'll talk a little bit about South America and something that I found really interesting. And we'll talk about that soon.
Very nice.